Hi, I'm Steve Todd, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ, a radio program focused on learning more about the musicians that are entertaining you around Waterloo Region. We're featuring your favorite local singer, guitar player, or drummer, learning how they got started, influences, funny stories about past gigs, and upcoming performances. You'll also hear some great recordings of their work. In addition, we'll be learning about others in the music industry that are helping to maintain a vibrant music scene. This is Musicians FAQ. Hey, thanks a lot for listening to Musicians FAQ. It's Steve Todd, and this is the fourth and final program learning about the musical journey of Grant Haywood. This last episode talks about current project that Grant is involved in, but he also reflects a little bit on past bands, songwriting, a few funny stories, and musicians that have passed on over the years. We're going to start the program with Grant talking about playing with the Woodstock Experience.
We got this idea from Dave Harland, who is married to Chucky Zare, who said, was it last year or the year before when the 50th anniversary of Woodstock?
Yeah.
And Chucky had this idea of putting a Woodstock-type band together for the 50th anniversary. He called it the Woodstock Experience, and we got Stevie T to play guitar.
Yeah.
Chucky was on keys. Mark Shakluna was on bass. Rick Taylor, who used to play with Willie P. Bennett.
He's
open for Gordon Lightfoot. He's open for Bruce Coburn. He's a wonderful guy. I love his style of guitar playing as well. They're all stellar musicians. Everyone stepped up to the plate doing rehearsals for well over 6 months. And it was so much fun. I knew we nailed it on the first show because we had a sold-out show at Aeolian Hall in London, and it was so exciting. We played almost a dozen dates that year, and they were all great gigs.
And so this is what's like. Are you doing a little hodgepodge of everything? Then you're doing one Crosby, Stills, Nash song and one Santana song or something.
We did Soul Sacrifice with the drum solo and everything. Yeah. We would do we all picked things that would work well. I sang, couldn't believe I had to be Keith Moon and Roger Daltrey doing doing My Generation and See Me, Feel Me. It was the weirdest feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of energy to put out.
Oh, yeah.
Cheryl, she'd be singing, White Rabbit, and Chucky be doing the Janis Joplin.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
We all had a forte that we all picked songs that we could do. And yes, we did Woodstock. We did the song Woodstock as a grand finale, and we did Slide the Family Stone.
Okay. One interesting fact about Woodstock was related to Stratford, there were six Canadians that were at Woodstock, like playing, and three of them are from Stratford. I think there was John Till from Janis Joplin's
band,
and I think one of the guys from the band. I have to look that up, but I know there was three Canadians.
Well, the other was the drummer for Santana.
Oh, okay.
Michael Shreve.
Okay.
I can't remember the other ones, but yeah.
Yeah, Stratford, I don't know if they still have it, but they had a whole exhibit at the Stratford Museum.
Woodstock.
Yeah.
I went to see that. It was great because John Till is on our board. I've been the president of the AFM Musicians Association in Stratford for almost 18 years now.
Yeah. Okay.
And John Till is on our board.
That's great. Yeah.
Richard Colgan's on our board, and Richard played with the Blushing Brides,
I think. Okay. Wow.
And so, it's great.
Thank you.
sounds like right now you must have at least 5 different projects that are sort of current, like that are...
It's like being a juggler.
Yeah. Yeah. You must have a huge calendar on your fridge just to try to keep track of where you're going to be. And
well, you know what I like about it, Steve? I grew up with country music. Since I heard the Beatles, I loved rock and roll music. I went through that whole British era, psychedelic and hard rock and 70s classic rock and you name it. I even like the 80s stuff. I still like bands, yeah. Bands like The Fix and that. I love that kind of stuff.
Well, you're one tune with, I'm trying to think what the song was, but there's a video of you jumping around and was that Meet Your Hooples? I'm trying to think, but that was definitely an 80s theme.
Yeah, oh, it likely was, yeah.
I wish I could think of the name.
We did a Late Night Invitation.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, we did a video for that. With the Desert Dolphins, we did 2 videos. One was a Cajun tune that came from an Inuit that wrote a song up in the Yukon and called Here's What They Say, and the other video was the one called... called Lisa Marie. It was about Lisa Marie Presley. Okay. It was kind of a spoof kind of song. So
that's neat.
Yeah, it was kind
good
of
for
fun.
You. But yeah, that's what I like about you. Like you've done like the really old traditional country and then the sort of the newer mainstream country and blues and progressive rock.
I did my first jazz gig last year. Paul Stover asked me to play a jazz gig and I said, I love jazz, but I said, I've never played it. He says, you'll get it. And Mike Bergar was playing bass. Wow. I mean, the guys that were in the band, I'm looking over and I'm saying, what am I doing here? But you know what?
Yeah.
It was a thrill.
Oh,
and then he asked me to play another gig, which I couldn't do.
Yeah.
So now I can honestly say I played jazz. I've played blues. I've played hard rock. I've played psychedelic. I've played country. I've played bluegrass. I mean, Al Widmeyer is a good friend of mine as well. He's from Goderich, and he's a multi-instrumentalist. And he had me play on some bluegrass stuff at one time, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
One thing leads to another, and I ended up playing with Chucky doing some stuff, and now with Cheryl and with Steve Toman doing this relative kind of blues rock sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the reason why... Procrastination is part of the reason I haven't put out my own stuff. Country people think that's all I do, but I have my country songs that I do, and then I have folk rock country stuff that I do.
Yeah.
And then my dad always wanted to do a crooning album. He had the voice for it.
Oh, like a Frank Sinatra type stuff?
Yeah, he always wanted to do that. I regret that he never got to do it, but he had the voice for it. I'm influenced a lot by Joni Mitchell.
Oh, yeah.
I play in a lot of different tunings. I love that sound.
It's hard to play her stuff.
If you asked who my favorite bands would be, she'd be at the top of the list. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, individually and together, were a big influence on me. The Doobie Brothers, one of my favorite singers used to play for Newgrass Revival, which is a band out of the States that there was... Bela Fleck was in that band.
Okay, yeah.
And Fleck Sam Bush played mandolin.
Yeah.
And I forget who the guitar player was, but they were musicians from outer space. They played so well.
Yeah.
And I did an interview with John Cowan in Buffalo, New York, and I always wanted to meet him. And we did it out in his touring bus. He had a video on his TV at the time. He said, "Oh, that's Led Zeppelin." He says, "I wonder what that would be." And it was the Houses of the Holy Tour. He says, "Yeah, I got to see them recently." He says, "In England when they did their farewell concert for Ahmet Erdogan of Atlantic Records, who they were signed to. That's the last time they ever played. It was like late 2000, maybe it was 2009 or 10 or something."
Yeah.
But he says, "I was at that concert." He says, "John Paul Jones, the bass player, is a friend of mine. When he comes to the States, we play bluegrass together."
Wow, okay.
And he says, "Yeah, Bela Fleck and I were at that concert." I thought, wow, that's incredible. So he said, "If you're ever at a Doobie Brothers concert," because I play bass for them now, he said...
Oh, you're kidding.
He said, "Just let somebody know at the soundboard." He says, "I'll get you backstage to meet the guys."
Yeah.
Wow, what a thrill. These are people I look up to that,
that
have had a lot of influence on me.
Well, it's amazing all the different things you've done. It's incredible.
All right, one more song from the Woodstock experience. Here's Grant singing The Who's My Generation.
One, two, three, four.
Guys in the bar dance band have been really good friends. Doug Dietrich on steel. Yep. Fred Lewis was actually is our guitar player. Before that was George Lonsbury. I still play with George.
Yeah, George is great.
George is a wonder. I love his style of playing. Yeah. He learned well from his father, and I appreciate George very much.
Now, you must have been out to the barn, that their studio barn. Oh. I bet you have some stories about that.
Oh my gosh, we do a lot of jamming out there.
Yeah.
There was a time we were out there. We've had Marie Bottrell out there singing with us. We've had Paul Weber, Randy Satchel. Just about anybody can think. I think even Carole Baker.
The walls have a picture of everybody.
Yes.
Couldn't believe all the other celebrities. Like I'm sure Tommy Hunter and everybody
would
have been there at some point.
We just had Tommy Hunter about a couple of years ago on our barn dance show.
Yep.
And Tommy remembered my mom and dad really well. And we had George Hamilton the third, is it? Yeah, George Hamilton, anyways.
Okay.
He was on our show as well. They brought him up from Nashville to be on our bar dance show. And he came off the stage and he says, "How's your mom and dad, Grant?" And I didn't realize how big a connection my mom and dad had with Nashville and Nashville people.
Yeah.
Because they would come through our house when I was younger. Like, we'd have Wimley and Stoney Cooper, you know, one night, and then there'd be Doc and Chickie Williams and little Jimmy Dickens would show up at our place. That's the kind of upbringing that I had, and I knew these people were stars, but when you're young, you don't put it all together.
Okay. Were your parents up in Wingham still?
This is in Wingham.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Because you'd think, it's amazing if they were there, because you'd think they would hit Toronto and all the bigger areas, so obviously they had a huge impact.
Yeah. I've played, this is something I want to mention, I've played and recorded virtually, and I always take pride in this because I never thought about it until I look back on my career, with every major fiddle player at the time, including Mel Levine, who was the first person to win the Shelburne Fiddle Championship.
Okay.
He played in my dad's band with Ward Allen, who was a famous fiddle player.
Yeah.
I played with Al Cherney. I played with Donnie Reed, Jerry Smith, Ned Landry, Eleanor and Graham Townsend, Lindsay Beckett, Wayne Ferguson,
wow.
Shane Gousset,
okay.
Randy Morrison, Bill Norris, Ashley Giles, Dan Howlett, and Victor Pasiewiczny from New Hamburg, and Mike Slowenwhite.
Okay. Well, I won't pull up my fiddle because I'll embarrass myself. But
I pride myself in that because good fiddlers, to back them up, it's not an easy job, but it sure is fun.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Good for you.
So I was talking to you before the show about I've collaborated with a few people. Like, I collaborated with some songs with David Lodge when I was with Hooples. He was part writer with of Late Night Invitation. And lately I've been collaborating with Stuart McKee, who used to be a roadie with Hooples, and he's bringing a new album out, and he's got a song on Spotify right now called Homebody.
Okay.
And he's going to be putting a CD out. I'll likely have about four or five cuts on it because that we both wrote together.
Yeah. That's great. You're still doing
and I'm pitching a song right now to the Fog Blues Band They're doing one of my songs called 12-bar prescription for the blues.
Okay.
I'm pitching some songs to the Ghost Town Blues Band in Memphis, who I know Matt Isbell, the lead singer.
Okay.
And I'm pitching a song to Jay Reel with Thorn and Roses for their upcoming CD. I don't know if they're going to do it, but that's how you get your material out there. It'd be easy for me to say, well, I'm going to do this, but if you know people that need songs, that's the best way to get your songs out there.
Yeah.
I know. My career, you were talking about Hoople's touring, like with Avon Cosmetics. We did 3 tours across Canada with the Rick Jones Band. We'd play Ottawa one night, and we'd play New York City the next night.
Yeah,
I played down in Nashville with the Desert Dolphins Band. We played down in Printer's Alley. Played in Las Vegas with Jack Kingston's son. Jack Kingston was in the Barn Dance Band and had a career of his own. And his son runs a bar in Las Vegas called the Saddle and Spurs Saloon. And I got to play with them out in Death Valley at a bar out there somewhere. And he had his drummer at the time used to play with the group that had that song out called Lies back in the 60s. I can't think of the name. Anyway, they were a 60s band, and he had the original guitar player from Dwight Yoakam's band. But it wasn't who you think it is.
Yeah.
But I got to play with them out there. It was a lot of fun.
Good for you.
I maybe failed to mention about working with the band. My old friend Bill Braun, who I had worked with in Full Steam Ahead for a while.
Yeah.
We reconnected, and he wanted to do a tribute. He didn't want to call it a tribute, but to honor Neil Young. And Bill has a voice that sounds like Neil Young, so he was born with it, and he decided he might as well use it and go out and do the music. He loves Neil Young, and he knows that I do too.
Yeah.
So he called it Sugar Mountain. It originally included Brian Wright on guitar and steel, and Brian plays with Romeo Sex Fighter now.
I met him too. Yes.
And Randy Vanney, who plays with a lot of different bands. And Bill played piano, guitar, and I played drums and mandolin. It was really a good representation of Neil Young. It was an awesome show.
Yeah.
We played all kinds of theaters for a couple of years and that, but Bill has since retired, and he's still in music. He's moved his studio, and him and Jenna are living up in Goderich.
Okay, yep. Yeah, I knew him way back in the 80s. I actually worked with him.
Is that right?
I bought an amplifier off him. I still have in the basement. So, and he's a songwriter too, right?
Oh, yeah. And I've helped him with some of his stuff.
Okay.
He's helped me with some of my stuff. Well, the Fog Blues Band, Bobby Becker was a keyboard player in that. He used to play with Yukon. And various, he played in a country band as well. He's played in a lot of different bands. He's a good keyboard player, and he plays harmonica as well. He's playing in the Fog Blues Band now with Hills Walt, who's the lead singer. Pat Furlong is the drummer in that band, and I know Pat quite well too. He's a good drummer. They've got a great band. They won the contest that sent them to Memphis last year.
Oh, wow.
Just before this COVID thing broke out. They're from Kitchener, Ontario.
Okay.
Bobby and I are currently hoping to write some songs together. At least I pitched some songs, hoping to get them to the Fog Blues Band too. This particular song, being that I've kind of got into the blues genre, and I always loved the blues, and many of my songs, even country songs, will have a blues inflection to them. I've always appreciated that because I think a lot of the music, at least the American music, comes from the blues.
Oh, yeah.
This particular song I wrote one night, and I thought this would be a good song for the Fog Blues Band, being I knew Bobby Becker. And I had been out to see the band several times, and so I took it to Bobby, and they actually do a rendition of this. I saw them play... Was it a year ago now, or maybe a year and a half ago, they played with the Ghost Town Blues Band. They opened for them.
Yeah.
And they opened with my song.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
Which they changed. Hills Walt said, how do you like the new version? And I said, once it's out of my hands, you do whatever you want.
Probably send shivers up your spine, though, I'm sure, to hear.
Yeah.
Because you probably wrote this on your front porch or something, and then to hear it on stage is...
Yeah, most of my songwriting, I write late at night. It's when everything's quiet, I seem to be able to gather my thoughts together. I don't know why. Everybody has a different attitude, and when they write, I get a lot of my song ideas when I'm driving in a car.
Yeah.
All by myself without the radio on, and I will put ideas down on my phone and just record them, you know, vocally. But this one is called 12-Bar Prescription for the Blues, and I thought it fit the Fog Blues Band, and this is it.
Life's so sweet when you got money to burn. Life's so sweet when you got the money to burn. You drive a real fine car, a business class, brand new women who are just as fast. Life's so sweet when you got money to burn. Well, I just found out that I lost my job today. I just found out that I lost my job today. I got a stack of bills and I crashed my car. All I own is this blues guitar. I just found out that I lost my job today.
That's where I'm at so far. I'm pitching my songs. I'm playing with several bands.
Oh yeah, I can't believe it.
And I'm enjoying what I do. I'm getting radio airplay through other people doing my songs.
Yeah.
But I'm also, like I said, Bob Richards and I are doing some recording this fall to put our little duo together and put a face to the music by doing our original songs. We actually were called The Remakes, and we used to do songs differently. We would do Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple, and we'd do it a jazz style.
Okay.
Or we'd do 25 or 6 to 4 by Chicago, and we'd do it a reggae style.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, that's... Okay. Yeah, so that's what I'm doing now. Just keep on playing, keep on recording, and my dad played till the day that he died.
Oh, that's nice.
When he was at the nursing home in Brussels, and he had Lewy body disease, which is a form of Parkinson's, and he also had dementia. my daughter Kiana played violin, and she came up with me to see her grandpa, and he wasn't in good shape. He was had his kind of slumped over in a chair, and I went into the lounge. There was a few other people there. I brought my guitar up, and she brought her violin. I also brought a harmonica from my dad, and I put it in my dad's hands, and I said, "Dad," I said, "we're here." I said, "we'd like to play some music." And just out of the blue, he started playing Golden Slippers, which is a fiddle song.
Yeah.
I have never, ever heard him play Golden Slippers, not even on guitar, let alone playing it on the harmonica. Okay. And he played it note for note. And I just said to my daughter, Kiana, I said, "Rosin up the bow and start playing fiddle." I said, "Here we go."
Yeah, that's
and,
great.
And we played. That was the last thing we did with Grandpa. It was, it was sweet.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
And so I know you're still even visiting your mom at the up in Lucknow at and singing once in a while up there.
Yes, I was supposed to go up this week. It won't be till next week now, but I'm taking my guitar up, and I'll sing some of my dad's old tunes to jog the memory of my mom, because she's got pretty bad dementia, and she's 96. Gosh, the old girl still.
Yep.
You'd be surprised. We did an anniversary for my mom. I guess it was a birthday party when she was at the retirement home prior to the nursing home. And I brought some friends along. Larry Mercy was one of them. And Lynn Russworm, who's... I would have brought Lance Russworm along, too. And I like Lance. He's a good singer, too. It was on his album as well.
So,
we're playing up there. And Larry plays some songs. And then Lynn would do a few. And then I would do some of my dad's old songs. And I did my dad's signature song, Moonlight on the Manitoulin Island. My mom was sitting down with kind of her head hung down. She got up out of the chair and just a brisk stroll, came up to the mic and started singing back up with me, the same as she used to do with my dad. And she sang like a bird.
Wow, okay.
It was touching.
Yeah, I bet.
Very touching.
Yeah. That's great you got to know Lynn Russworm, too. Like, he passed away just a few years ago, I think. It wasn't that long ago.
Oh, he was like a second dad to me. Lynn, that whole family. I played with Lynn and Lance and Laura back in the old days, and Lynn was a great country music historian.
Yep.
He knew a lot of people. He had some pretty good success on his own. He had the one song he wrote with the guy from Texas. He's a Texas swing guy. I can't remember. He's big guy in Nashville, but Lynn had a hit with him, and then Depeche Mode from Europe actually got a hold of it. It was called "I Cast a Lonesome Shadow," which Lynn and his partner Texas wrote, and
Depeche Mode covered their song.
Yeah, and Lynn came to me one day and says, "I got the biggest royalty check I've ever gotten before."
Every evening when the sun goes down, I sit here in my room, and the lamplight shining on me projects my lonely gloom. My counterpart in agony mocks each tear that falls, and I cast a lonesome shadow on these lonely, lonely walls.
A lot of the dram bands, when they wanted to do vocals, I think it was through Major Hooples, they used to work with Ed Johnson out of Hamilton, Ontario. Ed Johnson was a vocal coach. I think that he was an opera singer, if I'm not mistaken, and he actually worked with the New York Metropolitan Opera at one time. And he taught the bel canto method of singing. And so I went to get vocal lessons from him for... It was over a year. I know Brian Vollmer from Helix actually teaches the bel canto method, and he learned from Ed Johnson as well. So I remember telling Ed one time, I said, "You know, I come down here to learn how to vocalize the proper way, the proper breathing techniques, how to articulate, how to, you know, sing from your chest and not from your stomach." And I said, "You know, I go out and scream my head off singing Led Zeppelin," I said, "and every weekend, and I said, my voice is raw." And he says, Well, he says, sometimes we have to pay the bills, Grant. I thought that was good advice.
Yeah, but for sure.
He was an excellent coach. Rocky went to him too. I know that Ian Thomas and various people like that would go to Ed Johnson. So he was quite well known.
Yeah.
Ed has passed on now.
Okay. So. Does your singing change like when you're sitting down? Like, I'm sure as a drummer to sing is totally different than standing up as a guitar player.
I would have thought that. And it's better to be standing than to have you know, like be kind of bent over like that, you know, sitting playing drums. But because I've been doing it for so many years, it's become second nature. It hasn't affected my singing at all. I have a powerful voice, people have told me. I've also got a powerful falsetto. And the reason for that is playing with Major Hoople, when Rocky would sing, and he would sing a lot of the Four Seasons and Moody Blues and Beach Boys stuff, which required the high falsetto for those songs. When Rocky would sing in his normal voice, they needed to have a falsetto voice to back him up sometimes. I was that guy when I was in Hoople's, and I learned to have a strong falsetto. Rocky was a great help to me in that in that case. I'd love to play with Rocky again. He's a good guitar player. He's a good guy, good singer. He's in Thunder Bay now.
Okay.
And I know that he'd like to be playing a lot more too.
Yeah, okay. That's interesting.
Here's another original of Grant's. It's called Soul Good, and it likely derived from his days of listening to Motown and R&B music on a station out of Windsor in Detroit.
I'm the luckiest guy for sure. I can't believe it's true. You put me on top of the world. I wasn't looking for love at all, but you changed me. You're not like all the other girls, 'cause you make me feel so good. So good, so much better. So good, so good, so good. It's like I've died and gone to heaven. So good, so good. You're treating me so good. So good, it's like a dream. So good, so good, so good. Love with best intentions makes me feel so good, so good, so good. You give me a higher love. It's like an addiction. I'm so into and satisfied. I can't be myself without pretending. Soul to soul, side by side. 'Cause you make me feel so good. So good, so much better. So good, so good, so good. It's like I died and gone to heaven. So good, so good. You're treating me so good. So good, it's like a dream. So good, so good, so good. Love with best intentions makes me feel so good, so good, so good. You make me feel like a man's supposed to feel. Touching my soul, I've got to pinch myself to prove it's real. So good, so good, like a dream. So good, so good, so good. It's like I've died and gone to heaven. So good, so good. You're treating me so good, so good. It's like a dream. So good, so good, so good. Love with best intentions makes me feel so good, so good, so good. Love with best intentions makes me feel so good, so good, so good. Love with best intentions makes me feel so good.
And so I didn't make the big time and play all over Europe and play all over China or places like that and play to, you know, 50,000 people. But I played to thousands of people in concerts and that. I played the small, crappy clubs many, many times. I mean, I've done all that stuff. Sure.
Well, you're leaving, like, you have a huge amount of work, though. Like, you've played on so many different CDs, and you've wrote songs for other people and backed up other people. So.
Well, I had a top 10 with the Desert Dolphins with my song Dynamite. That was a top 10 country hit in Canada. I had a top 10 adult contemporary rock hit with Late Night Invitation with Hoople's in the 80s. It's hard enough to get your darn song charted on the at all, let alone even getting that. Okay. So I figure that's an accomplishment.
Yeah, for sure.
I've recorded since I was 7. I still keep on recording. I've been a producer. I've been a drummer, a singer, backup singer, a mandolin player, a guitarist.
You've done a little bit of everything.
I've been really lucky to have the support of my family and my wife. It's not easy balancing like a music career with home life. I always play to entertain, and I always play to the song. People say, you always see guys out there trying to be the hot dog, and they're trying to think that they're making the song better because they're injecting, you know, here and watch me play, and they want to be like a superstar. No, play to the song for the song. It's about the singer, and that's who's delivering the message. That's what it's all about. No bad attitude. Just give it 100%. Enjoy what you do. You know, it's like therapy. That's what music is.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree.
And I've been fortunate out in Maryhill, too, because I have a house gig out there with Paul, Sue, and Mike Weaver.
Yeah.
And they're wonderful people to play with. They're a throwback for me to my family when I used to play with the Haywood family when I was very young. And Paul is one of Canada's gifted country singers, and Mike is an awesome
steel
player. Oh, yeah. And Sue's a great singer, too. I mean, I always appreciate when I go out there and play for people. I've got to know a lot of them and become friends with them, and it's quite enjoyable. Yeah. And when I can't play out there, I have to get somebody to sub in and play drums for me.
Yeah. Now, are they still, with COVID, are they still able to do little shows and stuff? Because I know there's limits on number of people. And
well, Sue runs a show on I think it's on Facebook, and she does it from her home.
Yeah.
So it's like being at the commercial in a way. She has Paul and Sue herself, and Mike plays steel. And when Paul can't make it, they have special guests. They've had Fred Lewis in there. I think they've had Paul Newell he's a wonderful country singer too.
Okay.
I've been on the show as well as a special guest. Okay. And Sue just asked me recently if I could play, and I was too busy, so I said I will do it in the future. But it's almost like a 3-hour straight concert.
Really?
Sue does 2 songs. Mike will play a steel song. Whoever the guest is will do 2 songs.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah,
it is. So just online. The whole thing's online then.
Yeah, it is.
That's
neat. And I do have a lot of road stories that would likely make things pretty interesting, but some of them you might not want
to
hear, Steve.
Spicy to put everybody has, I'm sure they have vehicles breaking down in snowstorms.
I'll tell you about that. Okay. And this is just, we were in Thunder Bay and we had one of those school buses that a lot of the bands had at the time.
Yeah.
Well, the heater broke down from Thunder Bay back to Kitchener.
Oh, wow.
And all the money that we had made from that mini tour up north, we had to go buy snowmobile suits to keep warm because the heater didn't work. And one guy would have to keep on defrosting the windshield with a scraper while somebody drove the bus.
Oh, you're kidding.
And then there was a time
that's
played
an 18-hour drive back from...
We played in Smooth Rock Falls, which is way up north with Mackenzie, and we had a Dodge Maxi van. And the day that we drove up was one of those midwinter thaws, so we didn't have much for winter clothing on. We played a high school up there. The next morning at our hotel, we had beer that we put between the doors of the hotel. There was a screen door and then a solid door, and then it all frozen. And when we woke up in the morning, it was 30 below. It was just so cold. and we could barely get the van started. It took a few shots of
quick start.
Yeah. We got in the van, got down the road, must have gotten down the road maybe about 30K, 40K, and we had a flat tire. We had to take everything out of the van to get to the spare. And then we got the spare on, got down the road maybe another 50K or so, maybe 60 or whatever. And we had another flat. And now we were stranded in the middle of winter. God knows where in the middle of northern Ontario.
Yeah.
Well, I had none of the guys wanted to get out of the van. They were freezing. And I didn't have anything but like a spring jacket on. And I had to get out and hitchhike. And I got picked up by a mother and daughter who were going to the library. I think it was in Cobalt, which was the next town.
Okay.
And it was about 20 miles down the road. And they took pity on me, drove me down to Cobalt. And we got a some French guy that ran a garage there. And he brought his tow truck out, towed us in. We had to buy a tire. Anything that we made off that gig was gone.
Okay. That's crazy.
And then one more story. We played with Wizard in Erie, Ontario. It was a place called the Tilton Hilton.
Where would that be?
That's down near Ridgetown area, Lake Erie.
Oh, okay, yeah, but way down by Port Colborne. That way, okay.
Yeah,
I was
further down.
The other way. Okay.
And it was called the Tilton Hilton. It was an actual hotel. It was on a tilt.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I don't know structurally how they kept it together, but yes, it was on a tilt. That's why it was called the Tilton Hilton. And it wasn't the Hilton. When the gentleman showed us our rooms, he said, "Here's where you'll be staying tonight." Half the lath and plaster was off the walls down the hall. Oh. And when we looked in our rooms, it had that flocked kind of wallpaper look. It looked like something out of the Addams Family. And lo and behold, they had a spider problem down there. They were these big spiders. They were almost looked like tarantulas.
Yeah.
There must have been a dozen of them in the room hanging from the ceiling. All I could think about was laying in bed at night with your mouth open and one of these spiders dropping in. So I told them we wouldn't be staying there. Tim O'Donnell was our manager at the time, and I phoned him and told him we're getting a cottage. He says, "Well, don't do that. You have to stay there." He was worried, but he didn't want to spend any extra money. And I said, "I'm sorry, we're staying at a cottage," which we did.
Yeah.
Here's another original of Grant's. I'm just going to read what he wrote me about the song when he sent it to me. Grant said he wrote the song just over a year ago about how someone feels when they lose their wife or partner. In this case, it was to Alzheimer's. He's seen too many friends and relatives go through this way too often. He felt compelled to write a song about it, and he cried when it was done. Country artist and friend Paul Weber told Grant that these are the best kind of songs. It's personal and a touching song, and he's hoping to include it on his CD.
It was many years ago when we first fell in love. How could I forget? I'd do anything for you, anything you want me to. A promise that I kept. Opening doors and sending flowers, saying I love you on the phone. Forever trying to be on time. I hope I'm not the last of my kind. Some folks today don't think about the little things. Life's too fast for them to care. But I know the small things count when your whole world's upside down. You just have to be there. Take the time to listen about her day. tell her she's pretty as can be. Take her to dinner and ask what's on her mind. I hope I'm not the last of my kind. Sometimes life throws you a curve, and it's not what you expect. You never know what's up ahead. The doctor said today that your memory will fade. I held your hand and then I said, I just can't stand to let you go. You mean the whole world to me. I will love you until the end of time. I hope I'm not the last of my kind. I hope I'm not the last of my kind. Hope I'm not the last of my kind.
The hard part about this business is that the longer you're in it, you realize that you've left some people by the way. And I lost my friend Paul Sawatridge, as I said. He died on stage right after his show at 19.
Yeah.
And that was with McKenzie. And then Dave Lodge was an aspiring songwriter. He played with Hoopoes and played bass. And Dave is a really good friend, and he had a career going for him with Pure Southern Music in the publishing business. And he was making some inroads with Greg Hamilton, who had Axe Records. And Dave passed away after 6 months of having cancer.
Oh, that's too bad.
And it was hard because he left, you know, two young boys and his wife Heather, and it was sad.
Yep.
And then Dave Thomas of McKenzie, I found out that Dave succumbed to cancer, and I went to see him at the hospital, and I delivered a bunch of pictures and tapes and stuff for him to listen to, and he died shortly thereafter.
Okay.
And then Gary Brenzel, who was my longtime friend from Wingham, who was with McKenzie, he was out of the business for quite some time, but he had retired up at Point Clark. He got prostate cancer, and he passed away too. So I've lost... I'm sure there's others I may have missed, but I've lost a lot of friends, and it takes its toll. It's great. You're not immune from pain, but it's great for songwriting and that, because it's so sad. I guess that's what songwriting's all about.
Yep.
Love, loss, and circumstances and things like that.
For sure. Well, you met a lot of nice people along the road that you would have never met otherwise, I guess, if you weren't involved with music. So it's at least it's you got the chance to meet these great people.
Yeah. I consider myself really fortunate.
Grant wrote a song about just what he was talking about just a second ago, all the love and loss in his life. And here's his own original song called Witness.
Seen a lot of things in this old world. Some are beautiful, some are hard to tell. Like the first time I wrote and sang a song, it felt like heaven, sounded like hell. And way back in 1975, with my band and a full house, my best friend sang the last song, and he died before my eyes. It was the worst time in my life, without a doubt.
I don't know why these things happen. Sometimes wrong, sometimes right. We're all witness to the changes in our life. Like the time our two babies first arrived, way too soon, totally surprised. Pins and needles, emotions running high. They pulled through, it's a blessing they survived. I don't know why these things happen. Sometimes wrong, sometimes right. We're all witness to the changes in our lives. I can't predict the future, wouldn't wanna know. Let sleeping dogs lie. Seen a lot of pain and sorrow, and so many happy times. It's not for us to question why. I don't know why these things happen. Sometimes wrong, sometimes right. We're all witness to the changes in our life.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing future stuff, and I'll definitely come up to the, whether it's Cracker Jack Palace or the blue. I'm really interested in your bluesy stuff too, like the Fog Blues Band and,
yeah.
And your work with Chucky Zare and Cheryl Escombe. And you got a lot of really fun things going on, so. A
lot of hats to
wear. Yeah, good. No, that's great.
Okay. Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Steve, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. I'm Grant Haywood from Wellesley, Ontario, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio, waterloo.ca.